Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I haven't heard the theme song, so I'll just carry on.
Yes.
So welcome, everybody. This is the Coach on Fire, and this is Corin Sindri from the Change Strategist Show. Just to tell you a little bit about myself and who I am a teacher and a change management coach, a speaker, and I'm also the author of After the Shock, How to Make Peace with Change. And my main focus for my show is basically helping people to deal with change, not how to change, but to actually deal with change. But today I have a very special lady who I'm going to interview, which I'll tell you a little bit later about. If you'd like to contact me, you can reach me on pathwaysunlimited.com.au or on my Facebook page, which is Pathways Unlimited. So just to tell you a little bit about where I am and who I am, I decided a couple of years ago to study to become a life coach, and I have slowly sort of gone off into the direction of becoming a change management coach. And soon after I decided to become that, I met Natasha Denman, who is going to be my guest today on my show, who has helped me and has been my mentor in writing my very own book. Now, for some of you, it might be quite fearful to actually do this. And for me, it was, I really had to step out of my comfort zone in that, just to share a little bit about my history, is that when I was at school, I was told that I would never be able to be a good writer. I was always criticized for my writing, for the essays that I wrote, and I started having this belief system that I was just no good. I could not write. I would never be able to write. But then last year, was it last year? I can't remember. I decided that I was going to gift myself with writing my very own book, and that is how I met Natasha Denman. And so, no further ado, I'd like to welcome Natasha to our show. And just to share a little bit about Natasha, Natasha Denman is the ultimate 48-hour author. She's a highly sought-after professional speaker, and she is a CSP-accredited speaker. She's a coach and a mentor. Like I've mentioned before, she was my mentor and still is my mentor. And Natasha is a 7-time published author and creator of the game-changing business model, Ultimate 48-Hour Author. She has helped over 150 solopreneurs become first-time published authors in just 3.5 years. In 6 short years in business, Natasha has been nominated for the Telstra Businesswoman of the Year twice and was a finalist in Oz Mumpreneur of the Year in Product Innovation. Appearing in all media outlets across Australia, including the Sydney Morning Herald, the Financial Review, and The Age, Natasha is changing the way people do business in Australia and now runs a 7-figure business. Wow! With her husband, children, traveling the country, spreading her message, and helping small business thrive. Wow, Natasha, that is amazing. Welcome to my show.
Thanks so much, Karen. It's a pleasure to be with you guys today. And yes, when someone reads out my bio, it's always, really, did I do all of that? But yes, it's all been, it's funny hearing it back.
I'm sure it is. And it's also amazing to know that when you first started, there was nothing, and you have created this amazing 7-figure business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as I was saying to you earlier, you know, I was earning about $50,000 to $65,000 a year in my day job, and then I had this dream of having the 6-figure business and part-time hours, which is why I enrolled to do my own coaching course and stuff like that. And it was very, very much a mystery to me how to even get to that level in the first couple of years. But, yeah, the writing of my first book, as you have done yourself, shifted everything and changed everything to help me grow that business first to 6 figures. And then as I evolved, it became this, as I said, a monster, 7 figures plus now.
Wow.
And my husband's been with me the last 4.5 years running it and helping me. And yes, now I have to change my bio. Rather than traveling the country spreading her message, I have to say traveling the world, because I am taking this to the US in the next 5 weeks. I'll be there And yeah,
fantastic.
And in Dubai later in the year. So that'll change again.
Right. And just before we carry on, just for the listeners, if they'd like to call in, the listeners in America, you could phone in on 646-716-7979. Or if people from outside America would like to be in touch, you can contact us on http://tobtr.com/s/9927697. So, with no further ado, let's carry on. So, Natasha, who is Natasha Denman? I'm curious.
Okay, so a little bit of my story. It's coming up to actually 7 years in business this May. I originally was in the optical industry, and that was, you know, I've only ever had, as I say to people, 3 jobs in my life. And I spent a very long time of my life in the optical industry, about 12 years. And from there on, we had our own franchise, which was actually more my husband's. And our defining moment came in March of 2010 when my husband called me out of my store to deliver the bad news that he had lost our franchise business. And that was kind of our rock bottom moment that made me feel totally unsafe about life. And having at the time I had my first child only, he was 18 months old, and I felt like I needed to take control and fix things and create the security that I needed around me, because back at the time, obviously, I didn't feel like I could trust my husband after what he had done. And so I went on this journey to become a life coach, which I was thinking it was obviously to solve financial problems and all that sort of stuff, but it was actually a journey more to help myself first get through what had just happened, and then take that responsibility and then be able to get myself out of the way and build a business, which is why also in the first 12 months I only made $7,000 and probably only helped less than a handful of clients. It really had to overcome a lot of mindset issues. But as time went on and I wrote my very first book, because I was told that I should do that because it would be my business card on steroids, I listened and I followed through, and when that book came out, that was the turning point, and where the business went from as a handful of clients over 12 months to a full book of clients, and the 6 figures were achieved in the following 12 months. So that's a bit of my story, and
And so what was the first book that you wrote? What was that all about?
Yeah, the first book and my first niche was in weight loss. So it was The 7 Ultimate Secrets to Weight Loss. And I actually rebranded from a very generic business name to a very specific one. I was I ended up branding as Ultimate Weight Loss, Lose the Last 10 Kilos, was the specific problem that I was solving. And that was really the difference also that made a difference, because I wasn't being everything to everyone. I was just specifically focusing on helping people lose those last 10 kilos. And so I didn't become a mentor, a business coach, if you like, per se, for a little while, because I needed to obviously grow my own business and have the knowledge and the results and the score on the board before other people would go, okay, how did you do that? Which is what started happening once the business was well into the 6 figures.
And after that, subsequently after writing your first book, how many other books have you written since?
Well, lots, as you read out earlier, or said earlier in my bio, 7 books altogether, like 3 standalone books just by myself, 2 I half co-authored, and 2 contributor books where I contributed a chapter in them. So I've had an experience of all 3 types. And I have to say the most powerful ones, obviously the standalone books, or at the very least a co-authored book, but I'm not a big fan of contributor books. I am a fan of them if you do get asked to be part of one for free, absolutely do it, but I'm not a fan of sort of launching yourself as an author just through a contributor book.
Yeah. And having done the Ultimate 48-Hour Author, what made you decide to actually run this Ultimate 48-Hour Author weekend and workshop?
Very good question. I was at the time when I was doing the weight loss business, I actually, when I ran out of time, because we only have so much time, we can sell hours in the day, and one-on-one can be very draining. I decided to leverage and actually licensed the weight loss business, ended up selling my intellectual property to, about 33 people in Australia, one in the US, and then I licensed a different niche that I was also working under. But because those two programs were not priced high enough, people were not taking them seriously. And what I wanted to, and I kind of became a bit disheartened around selling the licensing. And so I actually stopped doing it after 6 to 8 months of the start of that particular, you know, high-end program, which was actually not that high-end now when I, now that I know what I know. And so when I designed Ultimate Footy at all, and the reason it came about is because my third book that I was doing was how I came up with the blueprint and the system of how I help people do it. I thought, you know, if I can do this for myself, I reckon I can reverse engineer and teach people how to do this and give them the stage that they need to go through to achieve success in 48 hours. And when I was designing the program, I thought, how am I going to trick people into becoming successful? Because it's one thing to get someone to commit to your high-end program, but another thing for them to follow through and get the results. And nowadays, in today's seminar world and a lot of educational stuff that gets sold out there, it's unfortunate that the success rate is only 3% of people that ever invest into high-end programs actually follow through and get their ROI and, you know, a result out of it. So I wanted to create a program that was going to bring in, you know, that sort of, if you're going to invest in this, everything is taken care of. So end to end, so included publishing, transcription, accommodation, meals, the whole experience. So it was highly expensive as well, obviously, to execute. But the second thing that I decided to do is that I would make people start to pre-sell their books on the Friday night of the retreat, which meant that when they had received money for books that they weren't ready yet, however people could see them, you know, the cover and all that sort of stuff, that that would give them more of a push to finish it because they've been already paid for the product, so people are waiting for that product. And as you would know, Karen, I pride myself on 100% of our people completing the work that the retreat and getting to their published book goal. So at a very minimum, and then building amazing businesses behind it.
Yeah, and what I love about it is that because, I mean, I have done it and I actually published my book in 4 months, which for me was amazing. I mean, it was so quick. The whole, once you put your mind to it and got going with it, it was so easy.
It is, because I say to my the people who are kind of apprehensive about joining the process, I always say to them, look, you know, you just got to trust the system. You got to trust that I know what I'm doing. I've done this with 150 people before, and I know how quickly it can happen. And everything's been dumbed down. There's templates and checklists for every stage, and the people who are using are already vetted and checked out and trusted, and they treat my clients as I would. So it makes the whole process seamless. And, of course, we've grown and streamlined it more and more. I mean, you did your retreat almost a year ago. It was May last year. And even since then, you know, it's even further streamlined and it just keeps becoming better and better.
And so those people that are interested in doing the retreat or interested in doing the Ultimate 48-Hour also, what can they expect?
What can they expect?
Well, they can expect for everything to happen. I know, but I'm sure the listeners would like to know.
Yes. They can expect for everything to happen super fast, and they can expect not to have to worry about anything outside of what they need to think about, which is just their content and pulling everything together. But what I always say to people, it's not about writing your book. Your first book generally is about the person you become at the other end of it. And I always say, you know, that person is so much more confident. It's almost that you get this license for confidence and an increase in self-worth, which then ends up helping you growing your business and attracting clients and opportunities that you never imagined beforehand. So I say, think about how big the leverage of this is, rather than looking at a book as where you're going to make the revenue. The revenue is not made in book sales. the revenue is made in building the trust and intimacy so that you can actually help people in whatever high level program that you then have set up for them to then implement with you.
Great. And just for those listeners who don't understand what you mean by leverage, would you like to clarify that?
Yeah. So, for example, as I said, the book is a business card on steroids. It gets the leads. It gets people to just find out a bit more about you. But beyond the book, you might be offering some kind of a workshop or your own two-day training or your own high-end service, depending on what your business is. Like, sometimes we've helped like mortgage brokers and lawyers and financial advisors do books as well. So they're not necessarily coaches, but then they have got obviously their services that they are able to offer and, you know, win those clients where you're not earning $30 per client, which is what the cost of a book is, let's say. You're actually getting, you know, to the point where people trust you to get you to look after them in whatever problem that you're solving. So, and you're leveraging yourself one to many. So often our authors don't end up doing too much one-on-one work because, you know, they've asked to be speakers at different events and then they run their own events and high-end programs, which means their time is leveraged and they're earning more, say, for the time that they execute in their business day-to-day.
Yeah. And the great thing is, I mean, I've noticed with writing my book is that the way that the whole program is run is that I can use every chapter. So I've got 12 chapters. I can use my chapters as a workshop, or I can use my chapters as a webinar, or I can present my chapters individually at a guest event speaking or whatever, which is really great because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Everything is there ready for you.
Yeah, the book is the skeleton and the core of everything that you do. So as you said, yes, we do recommend that people write a 12-chapter book because the 12 chapters turn into, as you said, 12 webinars, 12 keynotes, 12 different workshops, you know, the 12-step or 12-module online course. So that in that way, again, that there's a different kind of leverage, as you say, of the intellectual property.
Yeah, which is really great. So getting back to the book, I remember when you initially interviewed me to see whether I was suitable for your being on your workshop. I know that you've got specific sort of criteria. So who is your ideal client as far as someone to write a book?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right when you say that we don't just accept or invite people into our program just because they want to pay us the investment for it.
Yeah.
They have to be
That's what I loved about it.
Yeah, well, we don't work with fiction books or poetry books or children's books. They're not our genre because that's not something that I have an experience in. And I always say to people, whatever you write your book about, it has to be about integrity. What I mean by that is that people need to know that you have, first of all, achieved the solution to the problem that you're writing about in your book. So our books are a combination of two things. They're either a how-to book, how to solve a particular problem, or they are an autobiographical story that also has lessons through what the person has been through in their life, and they want to share those. So most of the time, the types of people we work with are generally in a service-based business. Again, not everyone has to be in a business. So sometimes the people who want to write the autobiographical books, they use them a bit of as a healing journey, which eventually once they hang out long enough around me, they end up setting up a business around that. However, most of them, as we said, coaches, speakers, consultants, trainers, educators like teachers and principals have come and write books, and as I said before, people from the financial services arena have also come, so stylists as well sometimes. Mostly service-based business owners. We definitely not don't help people who are, say, network marketing or MLM. Probably the listeners of this show, right?
Yeah, probably, because it's a Coach on Fire show. While you were talking, I was just thinking about what have some of your authors, what successes have they had after they've written their books?
Oh, gosh. They vary. So I actually sat down the other day and I opened up my big list of, now it's 160 people, And I started writing some notes next to people's names of the kind of things that they have done, because every author achieves a different kind of outcome because they have a different goal in mind. So some people, for example, some authors, you know, come and say, look, I just want to be a speaker and get more speaking gigs. Or one person said, look, I already have a successful business. I just want to get on the TED Talk and I need a book to be on TED. One of our awesome success stories was a lady who wrote a book called Turbocharged, How to Turn Your Auto Repair Business from Survival to Success. I'm not sure if I've given you the exact tagline, but it was a book for auto repair mechanics to grow their businesses and have awesome balance in their lives. So she's a female in that particular niche, and she did a little video for me. After 12 months of having her book, she generated at $301,000 in book-related revenue, which was a combination of book sales, paid speaking gigs, and her online program that people would upgrade themselves into after they had bought her book. She gave me those figures. Now I need to chase her up because it has coming up to 2 years after her book has finished. And the other day we just had three or four people on TV of our authors, and I've been taking screenshots and all. It's like it's becoming really hard for me to keep up with everything that is now happening with all of the authors, because there's just so many out there now, and I know the ripple is spreading and how much their lives are different, but every year I also know that it compounds. So whatever they did the year before, it becomes bigger and better the following year. Same as me, like that journey I've taken from crappy startup that had no idea about anything and was completely needed to look after herself first before helping any other people. And now the business turning over $1.5 million in the last 12 months. It's like just keeps compounding year after year and now going globally. So I expect the same journeys to unfold for our authors, which I'm seeing obviously now that it's been 3.5 years since the program started. I'm seeing a lot of them like just grow from strength to strength each year. And I'm going to say this is the ones that are taking action, that are using the tools, that are using the marketing education that I provide on what to do with the book after it's out. Of course, they're the ones that are getting the best results. People that sit there and just think just because I've written a book, things are going to start coming to me. It's not quite like that.
Yeah, it doesn't happen like that.
No.
That's in the ideal world where you just wish everything would just be put out in a platter for you.
No, you've got to go out there. You've got to meet people. You've got to, put your hand up, when people ask for speaking gigs. You've got to apply yourself with the book alongside you to get those amazing opportunities. And then one day, as I say, you earn the right to be lucky, and often you'll get those opportunities. Like recently I got a five-figure paid speaking gig to go to the US and deliver these 3 one-day workshops on personal branding and credibility. And it just kind of came to me, but I always say, people can say, oh, you're so lucky. But then you look at all the work you've put in over the last 7 years, and you go, one day you do earn the right to be lucky.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love the way that you say that, where you say, you earn the right to be lucky. And it is, it's about what you put out is what you get back.
I completely agree. And I just know that as long as you work hard, and when you put your head on the pillow at night, you've given it 150% that day in what you could have done to move your business forward, then you have nothing to worry about. Because, yes, we all want a result like in the moment. Often it happens in a delayed effect. But as long as you're integral and you've done the work and you haven't been lazy, then you're going to get rewarded in due course. And there's going to be ups and downs like in anything in life.
Absolutely. And just quickly, for those listeners that have just logged in or just logged in to listen to the show, I am interviewing Natasha Denman from The Ultimate 48-Hour Author. And if anybody would like to call in, the number is in America, 646-716-7979. Or if you're outside of America, it's https://tobtr.com/s/992767. So just to carry on from here, Natasha, I know that you mentioned earlier on that you're going to be going off to the US, which is amazing, and you're going global. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit more about that and what is happening there and how they can get hold of you if they're interested to come to your workshop?
Awesome. Yeah. Well, mid-May, after I complete my second Australian retreat here and the 15th retreat since I started this, I am flying off to LA and doing four cities on the West Coast for my half-day workshop. Now, I run a half-day workshop, which is $49, because I like to meet the people that potentially become my authors and qualify them, and also for them to fully understand what the enormity of this program actually is about. So I'm doing four of those on the West Coast, and then New York is on my 40th birthday, actually, on the 24th of May. And I'll be celebrating that on that particular week. So I'll be running those five events, and then the retreat will end up being 4 weeks after the end of those on the 23rd to the 25th of June, which will be in Las Vegas. So everyone will fly into there to execute the program that you did last year in May. And look, the best place to find out, and I think my husband just told me this morning that he did update the USA events on our website to have a special page for that. So just my ultimate48hourauthor.com.au website is the best place to click through. And if you can't find something, just then fill out the contact us form. And but yeah, we've had already bookings in all the different cities. We've sold, I think, already about 10 tickets, and we started advertising only about a week ago. And it's still quite a big lead up from now till then. I think there's still about 5 or 6 weeks to go. Which is fantastic. So my goal is to see if I can get over 100 people across five cities, and then you know, to help a percentage of those obviously at the retreat in Vegas.
Yeah. And what five cities are you going to be going to?
So we're going to go LA, San Diego, San Francisco, Phoenix, and then New York. So it's not going to be New York City. It's going to be New Jersey, just so I know there's a difference there. But yeah, I'll be in those five cities, and I think they're all outlined. There's one page, and you get to select which city and what date and all that sort of stuff that's set up on the website.
Oh, fantastic. That is so exciting. I'm so excited for you.
I know. I'm nervous but super excited. The only thing, the hardest thing for me, and you know I've written a book on this. I wrote a book. My latest book was co-authored with Francesca Moy, and it's called Bums on Seats. And it's all about how you prepare, promote, and profit from seminars, webinars, and retreats. And I, you know, that's my one thing. You know, often around here in Australia, I have a network, and I've been to many cities multiple times, so it's not as hard to get people. But when I haven't been to a country ever before, not even for a holiday, it's kind of like I'm doing everything from so far away. But I was so relieved to see a few, you know, about 10 people buy tickets. And the beauty of it, everyone gets a copy of my book when they arrive at the event as part of their ticket, and they always find that really a nice little bonus. So it's a wonderful experience. I mean, we did two of them in Melbourne. We do 10 people at a time in our home, and they just love it. And most people don't think they're getting a book. So when they get it, it's like, oh, really? That's really lovely. And which is what's really cool when you're an author, that you can surprise people with a little tangible gift that they weren't expecting, and that gives them that, you know, just a little bit more inkling to like you more and trust you more, and, you know, just have, like, you know, a closer relationship when you start off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's just, I'm so excited for you. I mean, I wish I could come on tour with you and tell the people how amazing the actual author weekend is, and how much value you get out of the whole program and so on. So just for the listeners, you said that they could go on to the Ultimate 48-Hour Author webpage? .com.au webpage, so they can log on there and they can find all the details on how they can reach you and where the workshops are if they would like to attend that workshop. And the great thing is you'll get a free copy of Natasha's book as well, the Ultimate 48-Hour Author book, which is an amazing book to read, and it's a really amazing handbook. Natasha, I'm going to go a little bit off the topic here, because I know that you are such an energetic person, and you just love life. That's what I get when I'm around you. Is how do you manage all these? How do you manage your life with everything that's going on?
Oh, so how do I achieve balance, huh? With three kids
well,
under
eight.
Well,
I don't know if there's a word balance, but I mean, it's about how.
Yeah, I call it flow. I think you achieve flow when you love what you do. So there's no real distinction. Now I'm working, now I'm having my social time, or now I'm looking after my kids, and now I'm holidaying or running my business. So I think when all of those things can blend in and feel like just like life, this is just my things that I'm doing, then you don't feel overworked or lacking in some areas. So my kids are now two and a half almost, 5 and a half and 8, and two of them are in school and one's still in care, and you know, we can't wait obviously for all three to get in school. But look, my husband and I are very well aligned with where our values are. So his values are more around family and home, and he's our core or primary caretaker of the family and the meals and all that sort of stuff, whereas I'm the face of the business. So I do need to do all the travel and meeting of people and the sales and marketing side of things of what we do. So, and his role in the business is more customer service and communication. So he'll be writing out emails and just anything that's copy related, and obviously handling inquiries that don't require my face to face. So we've divided that really nicely, and he is able to really be present in the moment, whereas I'm more futuristic, if you like. I'm always thinking about what's going to happen in 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, and all that sort of stuff. So so we balance each other out in that way. He's a great listener. I'm a great talker. So the kids are really well, could I even say trained up? Well, we basically parent exactly the same, so there's no issue. If one parent says one thing, there's not one that's a pushover, another one that's strict. We parent exactly the same way, and we back each other up. And our children know the rules. They have got their responsibilities, even though they're still quite really, really young. And we're always talking to them. So, I just think I'm doing the best I can. However, at the same time, look, I'm not a mumsy mum, you know, and neither do I want to be, because that's not my personality. So I've let go of that guilt. Just because I don't like to sit on the floor and play for hours with toys or whatever, that doesn't make me a bad mum. I'm teaching them different things through different ways that they wouldn't learn from, you know, if I was that type of a mum. So, yeah, so I've just kind of given myself permission to be the person that I am, because that's where I'm happiest. And if I'm happy, then everyone else will be happy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's about, like, for me, a lot of people always say, oh, balance, balance, balance. And it's not. It's about your values. It's about who you are, the essence, your character, your personality, and everything that comes together that actually creates the environment that you are in. And I know that I talk a lot about change and about change management. Yeah. I know that in your lifestyle, there's a lot of change. How do you manage that?
Oh, gosh. I first broke out. we had a bit of change happen just before Christmas last year, whereby our Facebook management team decided they were no longer going to service that type of, you know, they weren't going to provide any more that service through their business, and they kind of let go of all of their Facebook management clients, and they were just evolving to something else, right? And that freaked me out, because I had been all in with this company for 2.5 years, and they knew us well. We're getting really steady results. You know, that was like a big part. Like, you know, getting bums on seats is so challenging when you have to hustle for it yourself. But when you have ads bringing in a certain amount of people for a certain amount of spend, and you know what that converts when you do your sales and all that, it was running like a well-oiled machine. And when this happened, I was like, oh, my God, that's it. We're not going to get any more people and all that sort of stuff. And my husband being the one that's more present, he said, look, what can we do right now today? Who do we need to contact to start interviewing people who are going to take over this role so we can do a handover? And we discovered someone who we ended up subsequently hiring, who then wasn't as experienced as our previous person. So there was a lot of things that went wrong, and our significantly dropped, and the cost of acquisition was higher. And it was just like, oh my God, for the first 3 months this year, I was like, what's going on here? Like everything's just going backwards and all that. But anyway, I went back to foundational stuff, like the things that I know that I would do if I did. I wasn't running Facebook ads. How do I get bums on seats, right? Because there's so many other strategies. And I still managed to get the same numbers I normally would have through advertising, but obviously I worked a lot harder. And subsequently then this stuff was handed over to a new person who's now fine-tuned it and is back to where it was. And obviously with the US trip coming and our bookings that have kind of started to come through, because that was my biggest hesitation. It's like, okay, ads really have to work when I advertise for the US, because in Australia I could probably, you know, contact people and get people in and all this sort of stuff. But ads have to work for the US, because who am I going to contact there? I don't know. Like pretty much, I don't know, five people there. And so so that's how I navigated. Like I did freak out. I then sort of settled down. I go, look, I'm smart enough to work this out. And problems that like this exist in businesses all the time, whether they have a loss of a valuable staff member or, you know, that's what it felt like for us. It was obviously the Facebook management team was a big portion of, like, they were like a part of the team, you know. You just have to work a bit harder for a period of time until it becomes easier again. So that's what I did, and that's how I navigate change. It's happened many times, and I always have to remind myself, look, I've been here before. You know, I know it's gonna get worse before it becomes better, and you just have to sail through it. The bad sea to get to the calm sea, but not sail through it and just sit and do nothing. Still, like, you know, keep looking for alternate solutions, because that's where the biggest blessings lie.
That's right. And I mean, as you know, with your life and lifestyle and things that you do, every day is change. It's every day is different, and there's change that happens all the time. And so it's about having that behavioral flexibility to be able to cope with that change and just, like you say, sail through that change and go through it and know that you actually have done it before and that everything is going to be okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And the more references for success and having been there before you have been able to collect, the more you will be able to just understand that there's just different stages of every time you change. And that you can, you will be okay. You know, I know at the end of older people, towards the end of their lives, if they were to give advice to a younger person, often I've heard them say, you know what, everything works out in the end of the day. And that's what you have to actually believe, that everything does work out at the end of the day. And how it will, you don't know. That's the beauty of it. That's what makes it so exciting, that you don't know. Like this oncoming USA trip for me is like, well, I don't know how it's going to turn out. It could be bad, it could be good, but I'm prepared for either. I'm just going to go there with a positive and optimistic attitude.
Yeah, and it's about having, like you said, being prepared for the obstacles, so being prepared for the good and being prepared for the bad.
Exactly. And then kind of going, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? And taking those calculated risks. You know, for me, you know, USA was not a necessary a trip. It was more my next challenge to get me out of my comfort zone, because I felt like I had a good grasp on the Australian market. I have a really good steady flow of what I'm doing, you know, just a good cycle of how everything turns over. And I thought, you know, how else can I push myself now out of my comfort zone again? And so that's why I decided to take on this trip. Not so much, oh, I need more clients and they have to be from internationally. So I thought, you know, I'll go over there and look, if nothing happens, it's okay, because it's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah, and you had the opportunity to travel to the US.
Yeah, and I have no attachment to it. Yeah, of course, we're marrying it up with a family holiday for a whole month. So either way, it's going to be, you know, a wonderful experience and memories from what's going to happen there.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier on that you're going to be running the 48-hour author half-day workshops. What can people expect when they come to your workshop for the half-day workshop?
That's a great question. Yeah. So the half-day workshop is where I give people a little bit of a taste of what the whole system is about. So I can actually realize how easy and streamlined it is. So we do three core things in the half-day. We do unpack someone's book in the room so they can see the unpacking process and how we turn a book from sort of dry and boring into something sexy and marketable and quite specific. Then we go through the publishing industry and the do's and don'ts and what to look out for, because there is many different pitfalls of what you can get stuck with and how you can potentially even get harassed, which is what has happened to me in the past. So I talk about, you know, the differences between traditional publishing, self-publishing and our program, and they all have pros and cons and what those are. And the last thing we cover off is leverage with the book. So I actually show people a big, big mind map that I have created of all the leverage I've done over the last 7 years since being an author. And I teach them a little bit about how they can start thinking about the book and how big it can become. Yeah, and I share a little bit of my story so they can connect the pieces as to why I do what I do. But, yeah, it goes for about 4 hours. It's a wonderful half-day event that people, even if they came to that, they'll walk away, obviously, with the book, which has a system in it. They'll walk away with, you know, having seen it done live with someone. And I always say, if you're going to come to the workshop, make sure you're the first person that puts their hand up when I ask for a volunteer, because everyone's scared to put their hand up, yet the person that is brave enough to do so, after the fact, we have like our mid-morning break, and everyone says, oh, I wish I was in that chair. So if anyone's listening to this and you're going to come, make sure you're the first person that puts their hand up, because that power of masterminding is seen in the room. And everyone goes, oh, I wish I had 20 people thinking on my idea afterwards. So I always give people an insider tip if they're going to come, because I always pick the first person that puts their hand up first.
Yeah, and that is to put their hand up to do the a demonstration to unpack. Book unpack. Yeah. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit more about what you mean by a book unpack?
Well, this is what we spoke about earlier, that I draw up a template on the whiteboard and we unpack the 12 chapters of what the topic is. We work out, first of all, who's the target market, what problem are you solving with the book, what is it that people really want versus what is it that they need. We unpack what those 12 chapters are. Then I teach people how we make them sexy, so they're curiosity driven and make people want to go, oh, I'm curious, what's she going to say or what's he going to say in this chapter? And then we come up with a title and a tagline for the book. So by the end of that little segment, the person who's been in the hot seat, as I like to say, feels like, oh my God, there is a book in me, and wow, it's such a cool book. And usually half the people in the room then go, oh, we'll buy this one as soon as it's ours, you know. And it's really nice to see, because then that gives them encouragement. And I go, and I've said to people, look, everyone's got this within them. It's just that you guys, to this point, perhaps didn't know how to bring it out and put a blueprint or a system around what you're an expert in.
Yeah, and that's what I loved about it is that, like you said, we all have that story within us, but a lot of us don't know the how to bring it alive, how to get it out there, and even how to get it published, which is so great with the 48-hour author, in that there are you have a publisher that actually publishes the books for you.
Yes, totally, and we trust them with our life, if you like. They're local to us in Melbourne, because they're the second biggest people that are involved in this program. So, you know, all the other bits, the transcription, accommodation, meals, they're small components of what we do, and we could change those things very easily. But finding a publisher that can be trusted, that you know is not going to harass your clients after they have finished the process, that you know is going to do a good job, that's actually traditional publishing quality versus self-publishing, they are the kind of things. And I actually do pay them a lot more money than I could pay for publishing elsewhere. Like, I know I could find better packages, if you like, cheaper ones, but actually prefer to have better quality and people I can trust. And I can say, look, I've done this 150 times with these people, and they've looked after everyone. And, you know, the complaints have been none or tiny minimal that we've solved along the way. That's something that's very hard to find with someone who would be saying a strategic alliance for so long. So I'm very, very happy, and I'd more than happily like say I'll pay you guys more for the peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, with me having worked with your publishers as well, it's really been... it's been a breeze, an absolute breeze. And I know a lot of people who are wanting, you know, who do publish, they do have a struggle trying to find somebody that will actually publish their books. So with this Ultimate 48-Hour Author, they are guaranteed of having their books published.
Oh, yeah, totally. And of amazing quality. And something you may not know, but you might want to reconnect with them. Again, Karen, recently they started offering part of the program is to set up all of our authors' books onto Ingram Spark, which is a centralized distribution point where your book can be organized for print on demand. So if anyone buys your book internationally, you can go into the system, place the order, and you don't even handle anything. The book gets delivered in a few working days at the other person's home for the same postage cost for anywhere in the world. Whereas, as you would know from here in Australia, posting books out worldwide can be quite expensive, you know, $20 or even more. So maybe reconnect with them and say, can we get this set up? There might be a small fee, but now they're doing that standard for the last couple of retreats that we've put through. It's standard as part of the program, which is how I'm going to get my books into the US without having to carry them on the plane. I'm going to pretty much order them, send them to the person that is crewing for me at my event, and then he will bring them to me when he meets with me, and that way I don't have to lug them around. So that's something something that's brand new as of this year.
Wow, too easy, too easy, as they say here in Australia.
too easy.
That is amazing. Oh, man, I'll definitely get in touch with them I know that – I have people from South Africa that are wanting, you know, a hard copy of my book, but because of the postal services and things, it's quite difficult to send it through there.
And you have to charge them like $50 or $60, and it's like ridiculous, you know, for a book. But this way, it's so easy. And the fact of the matter is that this hub, which is Ingram Spark, actually distributes the books to thousands of online resellers, meaning that if people find your book on Barnes & Noble or Booktopia, or obviously you've got yours on Amazon, but, you know, it's everywhere as well. So then there's a huge more bigger distribution set up with it as well.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And just a quick question. I mean, I know a lot of people always talk about mindset. What kind of a mindset do you need to have to actually write a book?
Oh, one that your little critter brain think it's going to be death if you write a book. I say because a lot of people see a book as a big life-changing moment. Like the trajectory of your life will change, and I know it's always for the better. And no matter what people think, but the little critter brain, you know, makes a decision on either will I die or will I survive. And a lot of the time, the mindset when you're doing it for the first time, and a lot of fear can come up, and you should see some of the excuses that sometimes get from people or circumstances of what happens in their lives. Like all of a sudden they'll decide, I'm going to back myself into this, and then they fall sick. Someone in their family falls sick. Like all these self-sabotage situations arise to give them the excuse not to progress. And I always say when those kind of situations arise, the universe testing you, are you worthy of your success, right? And the fear of success is one of the number one reasons why people don't progress with writing their book. So I say, you know, do it anyway, because on the other side of that fear is so much growth, so much opportunity, and not one person in the 160 that I have helped has ever come back to me and said, I wish I didn't do this. You know, it was a waste of time or money. You know, everyone says, Nat, I'm so glad you made me do this. And I say, I didn't make you do it. You backed yourself into this. And, you know, but you see the smiles on their faces when they get their books, they open their boxes, and there's nothing better. And what a legacy they're leaving for. Like, I can't wait. My son actually started reading. We went to our chiropractor's office, and because my chiropractor is one of my clients and close friends, we've known each other now for 4 years, she has my books, and she's had my books on her little coffee table stand. And my son spotted one of my books, which is Natasha Denman Reveals 1,000 Days to a $1 Million Coaching Business from Home. And he picked it up, and because he's now reading a bit better than what he did in prep, and he started reading The Dedication. And I've always wanted, you know, my kids to read my books, but I'm still thinking it's too early, But actually, yeah, he read a couple of pages and we were waiting for an appointment. Like, oh, that's like really, it's so special because I know my kids still don't fully understand what it is that I do and the enormity of it. But it was nice to finally see him and see him do that. And I know every parent would want to leave some kind of a legacy for the new generations. And yeah, because those little kids are going to grow up and they are going to read them, and they're going to, yeah, it's going to be something that they're going to be super proud of. And not only do we want to make our parents proud of us, but I think we also want to leave something for our children to be proud of as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, what a beautiful legacy to leave behind, so that they've got something tangible, and it's something that, and it's, I mean,
and
I know it's myself.
They'll be passing it on to their children, and it's forever. It's infinite and immortal. It's, you know, writing a book does make you immortal.
And they also have a tangible, something
memory
that they can hold, that is memory. That's right. It's something that you have done, because I know very often with a lot of authors that you have helped with, a lot of the stuff that they've written is personal things that they have experienced or have gone through.
And you know, healing journeys, the autobiographical story that has many lessons through it. And that's why I say, look, we do those two types of books. You know, they don't just have to be how to do this and how to get better at that. It can be the story which has so many learnings and lessons that, you know, actually sometimes learning shared through a story are so much more powerful, because people absorb stories and remember them a lot better than just high conceptual stuff.
Yes, yes. And also when people read stories, they can actually identify with them, you know, identify with the whole thing a lot better, and it makes sense to them.
Yes.
Yeah, and especially if people have experienced it and have had first-hand experience. Which is what I so loved about your books, is that you bring in a lot of your own personal experiences and things that you have gone through.
Yeah, well, often I have people come up to me and say, oh, when you said this, that's exactly like me, or when you said that. And there is always one of my 10, 20 stories that I perhaps share in my half-day event that they go, oh my God, that's exactly what's happening to me, or that's what happened to me, or even just my own. I do spend a bit of time, probably a good 30 minutes in my half-day workshop, going through my whole story, because there's so many distinctions and lessons in it. And I say to them, this is how where it can begin from, and how it can compound and leverage. And this is what I want you guys to think, that there is a magic bullet, but the journey is so wonderful when you actually describe it to people, and how it became, and how you came to this aha moment, and that every challenge along the whole journey up to this point. That, you know, it's not over, but it's just really powerful. And then often people will come to me, that's the obstacle that I'm having right now, you know, because then they understand that you're just like them, and that they're not the only one that's feeling this way. I've had this happen to them. And that's where you get the connection. And, of course, you know, when you have connection, things, wonderful things happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's all about building connections as well.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, and when you are involved with writing your book, you build up so many connections. I mean, I know for myself, all the most amazing people that I have met just from, and not just only from the actual author weekend, but just from, you know, going out and talking to people and, you know, running workshops and so on, is that you just meet people and build connections all the time. So it's a really, really valuable thing to do, to write a book to leverage your business and to make it, you know, to increase your business.
I don't know. For me, it's the one thing that I think it changes everything. And you don't have to wait till you're famous to write a book. I think there's two ways of thinking. Well, I think there's two ways of people thinking. People think, yep, I need to be famous and I've got to write a book. And my way is write a book and then get famous, you know. And yes, your first book may not be your best book, but who cares? At the time, you know it's the best you have you could have done, and you have backed yourself. And you're the number one person that has to first of all declare that you're the expert at something, which I'm sure you would be if you've had the life experience that has solved that for yourself, and you've got your heart in the right place. Then there's no reason to doubt that, oh, I'm too early in business, I can't do this right now. It's all about just going, you know what, I'm going to do it and I'm going to make the most of it, because most people will never back themselves, and that will give you that point of difference. If you're looking for a point of difference, even in a world where there's so much noise, a book will still, to this day, even if you're hearing, oh, a lot of people nowadays are writing books, it's actually not true. Because a lot of people are talking about it, but a very few actually follow through. Or those that are talking about it have most likely been talking about it for 10 years plus.
Yeah, yeah. And they actually have never, ever done it. And so with writing a book, it also, like I remember you saying, that it gives you a lot of credibility.
Oh, credibility. It's instant. It's instant. The minute someone meets you, like people often, sometimes I have felt that they, not intimidated, but almost like in awe of, oh, you've written 7 books, my God. And then they look at me funny and they start talking to me funny as if I'm this celebrity. it's not really a big deal. Like, it's just me, you know, but I know that I can make sometimes when I share my achievements and talk about the stuff I've achieved the last 7 years. I mean, last week I was at a speaking event and I was talking about the things that I've done and how excited I'm about the future. And I was getting like applauses every like 3 or 4 minutes in my presentation, because I was in a room of people who were perhaps at the journey where I was right at the beginning, and for them it must have been such an enormous thing of what I have done. But to me it's like, oh, look guys, it's just me. But I know now that what I have done and what I continue to do is not common thing. It's not like it's different. I know that I work very hard, and people, I guess, admire, and they go, well, how do you do that? How do you keep staying so consistent and driven? And, you know, where do you find all your energy? And I said, I don't know. If you're in full alignment with what you do, you kind of have this endless amount of energy. Yes, I'm tired at the end of the day, but I get my standard 8 hours of solid sleep. And then I'm up and at it the next day and excited, you know, so it's kind of like Christmas Day. You jump out of bed and you go, what else have I, who am I going to talk to today? What event have I got to go to?
Oh, that's fantastic, Natasha. I know we could chat forever and ever, but we're starting to run out of time. And I would like to just thank you so much for being on my show.
My
and for those
pleasure.
People that are in the US who are really interested in going to see Natasha, it's really worthwhile. Hop onto her website and have a look and book yourself into the Ultimate 48-Hour Half-Day Workshop. She will be in LA, San Francisco, San Diego, and New Jersey, and then running a retreat at the end of June. It is so worth it, and I would really recommend, if you're wanting to become an author and you're wanting to leverage your business, this is the way to go. And just to end off with, I've got a quote written by Junot Diaz, that's how you pronounce it. In order to write the book you want to write, in the end you have to become the person you need to become to write that book. So Natasha, thank you so much. And wish you all the best for your US tour, and I'm sure that we will be in touch.
Thank you.
And this is
I'm
Karin
sure
Sindri.
I'm sure you will be following it.
I will be. This is Karin Sindri from the Change Strategist Show. Chat to you next time. Goodbye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.